Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spend a little more in the store for a tag and a
big salute to the veterans of this great country.
In the Garden Hour at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation. Up to this point, a lot of the landscape screening we've been talking about, it's all kind of presumably the backyard, but what if you live on a corner and your living room has a nice window out to the front that the headlights from the neighbors passing on the street come in every single night, coming in and coming out. There's a lot of applications for trellises and landscape screening in the front yard.
Sure, we get those all the time too. We're working with one now, and lives on a corner, and they do get the headlights coming in. They have a little courtyard out front, and we're making some trellises to screen off most of those.
And what kind of plants would you put on a front like that? Well, you would probably want something evergreen if you're trying to keep out headlights that aren't seasonal.
Good point. Are you trying to screen sound or lights? Then you'd want something that had leaves year-round. If you're trying to actually shade from sun, then actually the opposite of that. In the winter, you might want to let the sun in. But in this case, something that stays green year-round, if it's in full sun, then there's lots of choices, you know, from bougainvilleas to catclaw to tangerine beauty crossvine, honeysuckle. You know, there's a number of really good, fast-growing, full sun vines, pyracantha. If you want something that would let sun in the winter that might lose its leaves, you know, grapevines make a great ambient. You know, they're shady and big-leaved and cool in the summer, and they lose their leaves in the winter, and it lets the passive sun come through and actually warm you in the winter. If the trellises are in real shady conditions, things like creeping fig and star jasmine do a great job in the shadier areas.
That jasmine, the scent is hard to beat. Every time I pass by one, it just takes me straight to Mama K and Pop Rosie's backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got a little side, like a lot of these houses are built with real narrow little side yards now, that the kitchen window kind of maybe faces out. Great spot to put something like a star jasmine on that, so you can open when the weather's nice, which is when they're blooming, have those windows open and have that smell coming in. Great idea.
Now, the weather is very nice right now, and if you're not busy doing one of the many activities around the state that's going on, including I miss NAU's playing today as well against UC Davis. So it all have pretty big games today.
Yeah.
For football, there's a great time to plant.
Well, fall is probably really the best time. I think people miss out on planting landscape tree. Everybody plants flowers, geraniums, changes out all the summer stuff. And, you know, that's great. Color is very important. And we talked a couple weeks ago about curb appeal and how important curb appeal is to the landscape, and color might be the most important thing. But this is maybe the single best time, really, especially trees, to get them in. The stress from the hot weather, the air is gone. The soil will remain warm. It won't cool off as fast as the air will. So you're putting the roots into a nice, warm situation where they'll stay growing and keep rooting, where the tops won't grow much. There's not much stress from evaporative loss, transpiration, so that you get this rooting tree that isn't stressed to put on a lot of new growth. And then come spring, when the air does warm up, it's like putting high octane gas in that baby. I'm using a little NASCAR. They just explode because the roots have already rooted and they take off.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to join the conversation, let green, winter ryegrass, as you see it everywhere, that is a very hard green to beat.
It's the prettiest lawn. It's just prettier grass. There's just no getting around that. Bermuda grasses are what they are. They're tough. It's about our only option to really have a lawn in the summertime here. Because the cool season grasses like bluegrasses and ryegrasses, they just won't make it. But they make it about 8 or 9 months out of the year, and they are sure pretty when you have a nice one.
And once established, getting going is the hardest part. You got to make sure the seed doesn't dry out.
Right.
And you, I mean, ours is going four times a day right now. Still, I just finally got around to planting last weekend.
That's fine. You know, you use a little bit of water getting it established, but I will tell you that just got our water bill yesterday or the day before. It's half of what it was the month before, and that would include a week or so of
cutting
four
back
times a day, but I'm not watering anything else. So you're going to use a little water to get it growing, but there's a lot of winters. If we get an El Nino or a wet winter, I've gone all winter without watering my ryegrass.
Nice. I have to replant, not too late.
Replant ryegrass?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, no, absolutely not. We can do it all winter. It just, as it gets cooler and the nights cool off, it will slow down. The germination rate will slow.
I did something wrong with the clock. I program A, B, C, D, and I couldn't. I thought I had it set to come on three times a day, and I had it set like come on three times a year or something.
That won't work.
I thought I remembered how to do it.
It can't get a little. That's why I haven't replaced. I've got the same. I've got a 28-year-old controller.
I'm gonna go back.
How to use it.
I want my old one back. That's for sure.
And it's a ryegrass will grow in the shade. So if you've got a trellis area like we're talking about or a big shade tree, this is the perfect grass for that because you can still get your lawn in the shaded area.
Right. And as a lot of times as landscapes mature and as neighborhoods mature, we've planted big shade trees to shade our house. It's gotten to where the Bermuda grasses just won't grow anymore. Well, the ryegrass makes a great alternative for about 8 or 9 months out of the year. And I tell a lot of people those July and August when that ryegrass and nothing will grow in the shade, who's out there much anyway, you know? So plant a winter lawn, have a beautiful lawn in the shade all winter long, and you'll be good to go.
Usually the HOA neighborhood cops. That's who's out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can solve that. A little green paint. We'll just paint that sucker for a month or two.
All right, let's get out to the base of the Four Peaks and bring Michael into the conversation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Got a couple of questions. So I spoke to you about a month and a half ago about a couple of 20-foot oleanders that I wanted to remove, and I spent about a week digging one of them out. That was my exercise regimen. And so I've got that out now, and I've got a lot of roots, naturally. And this is next to my house and lawn. If I cut those roots down, you know, maybe 6 inches below grade, can I just leave them and forget them, or am I going to have any repercussions of those growing back? I want to probably put in some bird of paradise in this area.
Well, that's a really tough question to answer. Oleanders are pretty darn tough. I've seen them burn in house fires and come back. You got to get a substantial amount of the root out to keep them from ever coming back. So if you've just cut them down, they're probably...
I've cut it down, and I've removed the main trunk of the oleander. But, you know, there must have been 50 shoots of roots going out. You know, a lot of small ones, but I think there were three or four main ones, and those are what I've cut down. So there's no plant attached to it any longer. I'm just wondering if these will re-sprout on their own.
I guess the answer to that is maybe. They could, but unfortunately there's really not much you can do in the meantime anyway that won't taint the soil and keep any. You're going to replant there, so
right.
You don't want to do anything like that. I would go ahead and replant and just watch for new, young, tender shoots of the oleander to come back if they do. They may not. At that point, there are some things you can put, you know, just specifically on the little shoot as it comes up and kill that without hurting the soil or the surrounding plants, but you got to catch them while they're young. So
gotcha.
I would just proceed and then just be observant.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. And then the other question I have is I have a Meyer lemon. It's about 7 years old now, I'd say. I've got about 100 fruit on there, but it's looking pretty shabby. Now, this is a tree that, you know, it's probably about 5 to 6 feet tall, 5 feet wide. But I'd say the end, maybe a foot or so on my end shoots are all dead.
Hmm.
Is that something I should just trim back, or is it something else going on?
Well, it perhaps. Is this in the ground or in a container, or how's it planted?
No, it's in the ground, you know, and I'm in an area that's very hard ground, a lot of caliche.
Okay.
You know, but
one thing you could do would be to put some soil sulfur around it here in the next few months, a monthly treatment about a month apart with some soil sulfur, try and improve the drainage, perhaps open the soil up. And then this spring, give it a light pruning, cut off some of that dead stuff, and make sure you fertilize it good through the spring and summer and try and get it to stimulate some new growth.
We do soils as an ongoing, never-ending battle in Arizona, especially if you're, you know, he's in Fountain Hills. You're on some rocky slopes in the yard.
Well, Fountain Hills can vary depending on where you're at in Fountain Hills. Are you up on the ridge top? Or are you down lower? You know, it can be all over the place. In general, you know, we have pretty heavy clay soils. Most people, but you get out in Fountain Hills, you get in Paradise Valley, you get way up in Carefree Cave Creek, you get start getting into even gravel or granite type soil. So it's all over. You got to kind of take that into consideration. But by and large, most people are going to have clay tight soils that don't drain well, you know, and that causes its own issues.
You know, in our remodeling, we have to get rid of a lot of oleanders because the addition's going out that
sure.
way. I've always found oleanders to attack them three different ways: a bulldozer, flamethrower, and modest amounts of small dynamite sticks.
That'll get her done.
It usually does. We haven't had the first 5 or 6 years I was remodeling back in the 70s, we would have oleanders creep back. But they haven't. I haven't had oleander come back.
I've
in
literally
over 20
though,
years.
I've gone on insurance estimates for people though that have had fires.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the time
torched
I get there,
the
by the time I get there, they're growing back. Like, well, I don't know. You know, they're coming back. So
that's not a plant you would need a trellis for.
No, oleanders are not a trellis friendly plant. No.